This episode of the We Are Birmingham podcast is sponsored by footygreets.com.
Hi, it's Paul Devlin here.
Hiya, Jeff Horsfield here.
This is Neil Danz.
Rowan Vine here.
Birthday, wedding, anniversary, or any occasion. Personalised video messages from your favourite footballers. footygreets.com.
Hello and welcome to the We Are Birmingham podcast. I'm Chris Golding.
I am Matthew Elliott.
You feeling better? Is your COVID gone?
It wasn't COVID.
Yeah, all right. Are you feeling a bit better?
I've still got a bit of a chesty cough, but it's definitely on its way out. It was on its way out last week when I was speaking to you, and it's still on its way out.
Still
so
on
hopefully,
its way out.
Eventually, it's not hindering my day to day activity, as you well know. So
I know that.
Aye aye aye, send him to Cornea.
Send your cough to Cornea. Fancy that?
We'll send my cough to Cornea. Yeah, let's go for it.
One game over the weekend. It looked like we had a bright start against Bournemouth. A very high press from us, and it was looking good early on.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought for half an hour or so, when did they score? Because we were looking very impressive up until the point where Pedersen volleyed that one into the
net. What a goal. I mean, what a goal that wasn't. But I think half my street must have heard me celebrate that one. And then I was just like, oh, the flag. Oh.
Yeah. jumping around the living room with that one. Because of the strike and everything, it was just like, what a finish.
It would have been 2-0 up at the time as well. And
I think Darren Purse was going mental on commentary.
He did,
yeah.
I think he knocked his mic over, didn't he, and stuff as well. I tell you what, obviously the result was really frustrating, and there's a few defensive errors, which we'll get into. I've got my own bits on that as well. But it was a really good game of football. It was actually a really enjoyable game of football to watch. I thought Blues had played as well as they had done going forward for certainly in that first half. But we played really nice stuff.
I think I messaged you during that first half, didn't I, and said it's nice to see us in the opposition half. And
yeah,
to get in there.
We looked confident. We looked good. Bournemouth looked like a team that were on a really bad run. They looked really shaky at the back. If we had gone 2-0 up,
we'd sorry to just jump in there. You can come back in a sec, but don't forget that we came at them with a pretty different system to what we have been playing. So bear in mind that they've got a new head coach or new temporary caretaker head coach or whatever that they had in Woodgate in for the
Jonathan Woodgate.
Did he join on the Monday and then he was manager on the Saturday or something?
Yeah, I thought that was a bit shifty. That was like, oh, he's come in and suddenly he's already like the caretaker coach. Was that been planned? But apparently Patrick Vieira's might be taking over that there now or something. Yeah. Always had an interview for the job or something. But anyway,
I think the fact that he'd come in and we were playing in a different style to what we have been playing, it would have taken them by complete surprise. Any preparation that they could have done, it would have gone out the window anyway. But then I think once the game had settled down, they maybe figured out how we were trying to play against them. And that's when they sort of took the game by the scruff of the neck a little bit then. And I think you could sort of see that developing through the game as we sort of faded out. And plus, don't forget, playing a high press game like that, it requires a lot of energy, and
you can't. Yeah, I mean, I've said to you, I don't know if it's to you, you can't keep that up for 90 minutes. It's literally impossible. I think the only team I've seen manage to do that in recent times, in the last, for the longest periods, is someone like Liverpool, who obviously are not doing it very effectively this season. But last season, when they were just like pretty much unbeatable for the long period of the season.
And don't forget that last season there was a massive break midway through as well, which was...
That also does help, yeah.
Help,
yeah. Which...
Sorry, you were saying that if we'd have gone 2-0, it was probably...
If gone 2-0, I think they would have just caved. I think that would have, I think we would have been fine. Honestly, think we would have been fine. We did look a little bit susceptible to sort of those, maybe those quick counter-attack breakaways or balls over the top, which we've suffered from previously. It was so disappointing to lose that because I think we deserved so much more. The defensive errors, again, you can't really compensate for. And again, we can question the substitutions towards the end as well, taking off Scott Hogan, who is on a hat trick and playing really well in terms of his link up play and just like working hard, running the channel, trying to close them down. Like, that's everything you want from him and the goals. Like, yeah, you've got. Oh, you had the complete package there.
It's what I'd been missing from his game. We'd seen bits of it in each game where we'd seen a goal and then we'd seen the all-round play that he'd been doing but without the goal. And then that game, it was just, like you say, it had everything that you want from him.
And you can't even say, okay, take into account maybe he was going to rest him for midweek because there's no midweek game.
No.
So I don't really understand. I don't understand why he did that.
And then to have two big strikers on the pitch and take off your wingers who are going to actually provide anything.
Not the first time that's happened, is it? When he brings Duke on, takes off wingers.
To have two of them up there and then you take Sanchez off, then meanwhile, San Jose, in my eyes, San Jose probably should have been the first one to come off when Sonjic went off and keep the energy on the pitch. Not saying that Sonjic was playing brilliantly, but he's got the energy levels that San Jose lacks.
Yeah, we spoke about it briefly at halftime, didn't we? I think
as well.
But you look at the second goal. San Jose had his part to play in that one, in the build up to that. There was a good. In fact, let's just go into it now. So there was a massive witch hunt for Harley Dean that night. And we know, though people don't like Harley Dean, I don't particularly like Harley Dean. But if you go back to the beginning of that move, when even Sanchez cut inside, probably should have laid the ball out to Colan, who is overlapping on the right-hand side. Not for the first time, it just made a 40-50 yard run to overlap.
Got completely ignored.
Sanchez ignored him, and it was probably about the fifth or sixth time in the game he'd done that. It was starting to grate on me. He lost the ball. Look, I think this has been missed. Looked like he probably, I think you said to me as well, he looked like he dived to try and win a free kick. Anyway, we've lost the ball. They're on the breakaway. Collins just ran 50, 60 yards to the overlap. He's now got to turn around and try and chase back up the pitch. Obviously, going to be knackered from what do we call it, a lung busting run. You've got MSJ, San Jose, who dived in when he could have probably just tried to stand the defender up, tried to stand the attacker up, slow things down, but dived in, got caught out. Then the ball went out wide and I think it was swept across the right-hand side where they crossed it in. Now, who was tracking Wilshere? I'm pretty sure Gardner should have been tracking him. Gardner had a very good game. He was probably one of our better players, I thought. Should have been tracking him. Then Dean's obviously running back. He's put his hand out, which looks like, I don't know if he's telling someone else to take him while he goes and sort of helps smother the goal along with Etheridge. Or, you know, he's just, you know, trying to give himself some space. But then his feet, by the time the ball comes across, his feet are planted. So he can't then move back to try and defend that ball. He's in a pretty tough spot of his own making. But there were three other defenders behind play there, and Gardner should have tracked Wilshere into the box as well. It hasn't happened.
I think you're being kind there though.
There's literally four things. Like, you could have prevented that goal we could have even scored if it laid
when,
off to
when
to
that
Colin.
Ball does come in, the closest player to Wilshere at that point is Harley Dean, and as it's come over, he's stepped away from him. He knows that he's there. He knows his surroundings, and he actually steps away from him. And for as a centre half in that position, you've got to be saying, right, I'm going to take that man.
But I watched, and I think you're right. But what I'm saying is, you look at, he does something, and I'm not, you can't tell for sure, but he does something with his arm as he goes past Wilshere. I don't know if he's trying to signal for someone to take him, or why he tries to narrow the goal with Etheridge to try and reduce the opportunity. It was a great header in the end by probably the smallest guy on the pitch, but
it wasn't challenged. Let's be honest.
He wasn't challenged, but it was put into the perfect spot.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying Harley Dean is faultless, but that goal was preventable a lot, 30 seconds to 40 seconds beforehand could have been. I know most goals probably are.
Yeah, I was going to say you could say that about literally any goal that you concede. Really,
there was just so many issues there, and I'm not. And I still think whoever was tracking Wilshere should have been tracking him into the box as well.
At that point, I don't think when you're coming into the box and your centre half's in there, I think that's a reasonable time to be handing them off.
No,
and
there's
a lack of communication, maybe. But for me, Harley Dean knows that he's there. He's got to take that. He's got to take that man on. He's got to at least challenge for that header. And with
the problem
being Wilshere,
is, by the time he'd moved away, his feet were planted. You're not going to get. He wouldn't have been able. Whatever reason he moved back for, I don't know why he moved closer to the goal.
When he did start moving back towards the goal, he knew that the man was there.
Yeah, but there's also three defenders about a yard the other side of Wilshere as well.
I think they're a bit further. But anyway, it was yet another individual mistake. And then
there's San Jose for the third goal, who I'm not quite sure why he just gave that up, because Billing obviously wasn't giving it up.
No.
The assumption was that by the looks of it, he thought he was just going to go out of play and no one's going to get on the end of it. Why?
I don't know, mate. I'll tell you what, let's listen to some 15-second opinions from the weekend.
15-second opinion.
Much better performance today, but we've been undone once again by individual mistakes. Can't blame Karanka for that. But you can blame him for some of the in-game decisions that he makes, some of the changes that he makes. Leaves me scratching my head time and time again. But the amount of chances we created today was much, much better than in previous weeks.
Shit, shit, shit. Get Karanka out.
Absolute shocking. Same thing every week in, week out. Karanka says we're doing stuff on the training pitch, but nothing's happening. And he just keeps blaming the same things, but nothing's changing. He either needs to go or something needs to change drastically.
I'm sure you're doing your best, or the owners are doing their best to bring Birmingham City down to League One. Because my guess is the ground is worth more than the team to all of you.
I don't even need 15 seconds to summarise that game. Karanka cost us the points. That's it. Karanka cost us 3 points in that game.
Surely that's time up for Karanka. Our biggest threat in the whole game was the wing-backs overlapping the wingers. So what does he do? Tactical genius takes the wingers off. Then it's obvious we need an extra strike on the pitch when 3-2 down from midfielder. Bring San Jose off. Now what does he do? Bring Scott Hogan off and keep San Jose on. Who, by the way, is getting more and more near Adam Clayton level every week. And if he stays, lads, I think we're gone.
I'm not too sure whether I can agree with some of the slack Karanka gets. Again, I know the tactics and that is questionable, but is he at fault for the individual errors? That's how I look at things.
Well, the knives are out for Karanka on social media, aren't they? And I understand that. But the last four or five games, we've played better. Still not brilliant, but there's definitely progress there. And if we keep going, it will come. Sacking him now would be madness. Who's going to come and want to work for Dong?
Poor subs. Again, like-for-like subs are making no impact on the game. Hogan scores two goals, finally gets a bit of confidence, gets dragged off, and then we finally make a change of formation in the 89th minute, which gives Cosgrove 3 minutes to make an impact on his first game. he has got to go for me.
Three more years.
Wow. Not 3 more years, 2.5 more years. 3 year plan, and we're six months in, or whatever it is. I think that the key thing to take away from most of them was that, once again, and we mentioned it just before, individual mistakes.
Yeah.
And Karanka said in his post-match interview, he turns around and he says, okay, so we'll go away, we work on this all week on the training pitch, and then we'll come back, we'll make the same mistakes and lose the game. I mean, it just looks defeatist, and it's not, for me, the type of thing that you want to go out in public and say. Fair enough, say it to the players, but to the media? Really?
No, I'd imagine it's almost, and let's I use the term loosely, because he isn't a man that shows that many emotions, but I'd guess there was an emotional reaction just to the question that he's verbalised it. So he's obviously pissed off, but he's a couple of shrugs.
Do you know what? I think the shrugs show more than anything, because I think that he's maybe running out of ideas as to what is going wrong and how to fix it.
He needs to lean on Gardner a little bit more to get some inspiration. He's obviously stopped doing it.
Some passion.
There's a few things there. Obviously, like, I don't agree that we played badly. I think there's someone mentioned there that we'd played better over the last handful of games. I absolutely agree with that. We just haven't really had the rub of the green that we may have had previously.
I think the baby steps thing is true. It's like and that was from the other week. But it is baby steps, and so far it's almost like we played a bit better against Wickham, but we didn't really. A lot of people said we created chances. I don't think we created chances. We one and a half chances against Wickham, the Colin one being the key one. Bournemouth, much better, created much more opportunity and a handful of chances. And then we've taken a couple of them. But then it's the stuff in game that we then seem to, we've made these steps forward and then we seem to go backwards. And that's where the frustration is for me at the moment, is that we're not taking the games by the scruff of the neck and going, right, we're going to kick on from it. It's like, we get so far.
Yeah, it'd just be nice to see us go a couple of goals, clear goals up, and see how we respond to it. I think it's probably worth pointing out as well that the mental side of the game that I spoke about before, when we've gone behind and we look to sort of crumble, going back to, I think it was probably the Preston game when first brought up, there's a clear sign for me that the players didn't just completely fold.
Yeah.
And ever since then, we don't look like when we concede that we're ready to fold and give up and just absolutely start panicking. There looks to be a little bit more cohesion, almost, to the point that, like, they know they can probably get themselves back into it, or they can try and work, so they can work hard enough to get themselves back into it. It is, and again, we'll go back to it, individual mistakes. It's the baby steps thing. There are signs that it's turning, but the problem is, you know, the steps are that small, tiny, tiny baby steps. The wheels turning that slowly is like, is it all going to come together quick enough for it to start, for us to allow us to put a handful of results together? Now, our next 3 games are huge because of who we're playing.
I think that the next one's the biggest, and then once we've played the next one, because it's the most winnable in terms of the opposition that we're against, but then the next game then becomes the biggest, and the next game then becomes the biggest. That it's like, but you've got to take them one at a time. But the next one out of the three, I'd say, is the if they don't win it, it's like, fucking hell, to Luton.
Yeah, I mean, where are Luton now in the league? They're a handful. They're still 6 points ahead of us. Yeah. So, I mean, we've got we've then got Sheffield Wednesday and Millwall, or Millwall and Sheffield Wednesday, who, yeah, you know, up until, you know, a week or so ago, 2 weeks ago, Millwall were right down there as well. Sheffield Wednesday is still down there. I think, did they win yesterday? I think they beat Wickham, didn't they? So they've, yeah, because I think we've gone into the bottom two now, haven't we?
We were anyway, weren't we?
We were in the bottom three, but I think we're now bottom two now, potentially, yeah. I think. I'd have to double check that, but so obviously those three games,
preparation is everything.
Yeah. To be honest, I tried not to look at the table too much recently.
Don't want to make the podcast too depressing.
I'm just so lazy that when I open up the table, you only see like the top half, and I thought I can't bother scrolling down there, so I just close the window.
We're not there.
Yeah, so, you know, and for me, there's a lot of people saying he has to go, and I said last week after the Wickham game, I'm not ready to give up on it yet. I won't lie, the substitutions are starting to, the game management is really starting to get on my tits.
I tweeted after some of the subs the other day, and I just tweeted, "Get out, you prick," or something. Yeah. And it's like, it just drives you to that point when you can see something that's quite promising, and then it's a change that you think, "What the fuck are you doing?"
And this is great. Yeah, we can take bits of games in isolation, of the last five games in isolation, so that we have moved forward. And then you look at other parts.
It's regressed.
And we've moved backwards. Yeah. And then he is not helping himself or the team by making the substitutions. I would love to know the thinking behind it. I know he just sits there and plays fucking Sudoku for most of the game. I'd really love to know the thinking behind it. Like, who is it his decision? Is it one of the analysts? Juan Villa, who does a lot of the analysis and stuff, like, is it him? What I will say is the last few games looks like we have actually tried to adapt to not just setting up to defend, but actually look at, they knew Wickham were kind of susceptible to crosses and putting the balls into the box, and we did that quite a lot. I think they thought that Bournemouth were a little bit shaky, trying to knock the ball around the back, so they tried to try sort of a high press. So I think there's maybe a little bit more of us taking the game to teams and trying to attack their weaknesses. And I really hope that, you know, they carry on doing that. The problem is we have got our own weaknesses to deal with as well. And it's, you know, for me, three games are massive. Obviously, Luton is next. It's huge. A win would make a world of difference. But we've got to string a few results together. We can't just be, you know, win one game and then lose the next few and then hope we win again. We've got to string a few results together. For me, I think we need 7 points for these next few games.
Now, I noticed that you're wearing an unusual shirt there, mate. What's that one that you've got on?
This is Club Sport Emelec, who are the Ecuadorian sports club, playing Serie A, the highest level of Ecuadorian football.
You got a nice blue one, I can see that. And it's very blue. Can you make mine out?
It looks like FC Dallas.
FC Dallas it is. Now, we're actually wearing shirts that have been sent through to us from the Footbox, who were founded by Bradley Booth, who's a big Blues fan. He sent them over to us. Nice little packages, aren't they? The shirts come nicely presented in a box. They've got, your favourite part was the Haribo, was it?
Well, I actually like the little card that they give you with it. Sort of give you a breakdown of the club, a bit of history about it, who their rivals are, how they were founded and stuff like that. Really, really cool, I thought. And yeah, Haribo, obviously always very nice. And always a couple good. Of...
Did you get some stickers with yours as well?
A couple of little stickers, yeah.
World Cup 2010, was it?
Did, yeah. I got Carlos Puyol and Simon Elliott, who is no relation, just to confirm.
He's not. Miroslav Klose was one of mine, but... I think
also
I got three stickers.
Also not one of your relatives.
No. Although I did have a friend who looked very much like him. Oh, I've still got a friend who looks very much like him. No, I didn't need any of my stickers to complete my album. I'd already completed it, so I've got some swaps if anyone's interested. But yeah,
if you've still got your 2010 sticker book hanging around, then, you know, Chris will sort you out.
Yeah, just drop us a DM on Twitter. So the reason that we're talking about this is because Brad has offered to give away two shirt boxes to two winners in a competition. So we're going to run a competition on Thursday on Twitter. All you have to do is follow the We Are Birmingham Twitter, the Footbox Twitter, which will be tagged in our tweet, and also retweet the tweet. We'll pick a couple of winners in a few days. You'll get one of the boxes through each. And we've also got a code for all Blues fans that listen to the podcast or that follow We Are Birmingham. If you use the code WAB10, and you'll get 10% off your first surprise mystery shirt box. So you too could potentially be representing FC Dallas.
Or Club Sport Emelec.
Yes.
Who kick off their season in a couple of weeks, actually. Their season starts in mid to end February. I had to look that up because I thought, oh, see where they are on the table.
You're gonna stay up and watch some of their games?
I think like they start like 11 o'clock at night or 12 o'clock at night. I'm going to probably take a while stabbing in the dark and say no, maybe not. But
you never know.
I might have the odds. I'll tell you a quick story, just a bit of a sidetrack. I think it was my eldest or my middle daughter, when they were first born, we used to get up in the middle of the night and we'd be doing the feeds, they'd be crying, sleeping, not going to sleep, whatever. I would sit up and go on Paddy Power and look at what teams were playing at like 11, 12 o'clock at night.
In South America.
Yeah, they just do it and roll money over each night. And I think during my whole paternity period, from about a quid, I made about £250 just from doing these little tiny bets on just rolling it over on these South American football.
I had a little trick back in the day on Paddy Power that I made some seriously good money from Paddy Power back in the day, but I'm not going to go into that now. But yeah, keep your eyes open on Twitter. Enter the competition, and if you want to order your own mystery box, then use the code WAB10 and you'll get 10% off your first order at the footbox with two X's.co.uk.
All right, everyone, my name's Joe Wright, and this is my debut single, You Know I Know, on the We Are Birmingham podcast, KRO Up the Blues.
Stuck in the mud and it's way too late to get out now. Looks like you're in a bit of a rut and it's way too late to turn around. Kick and scream, well it ain't no good, 'cause nobody wants to hear that sound. Your weasel face leaves a taste of scum, so I'll spit you out. Darling, tell me something. Do you think that I'm on time? Darling, I know something. Yeah, you're afraid to be ashamed. Seems to fade away. You're so right in the back. can't decide if you're here or there. Darling, tell me something. Do you think that I'm on time? Darling, I know something. Yeah, you're afraid to be ashamed. You know, I know, we can't.
If you enjoy our podcast, please don't forget to share it on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. Let people know that you're enjoying it.
And also don't forget to rate and review us on all podcast platforms.
If they allow it.
If they allow it.
Cheers, guys.
So Blues released a statement, it was about 5 days ago now, with regards to the strategic committee that they've just appointed, I think. Well, it was Birmingham Sports Holding, wasn't it, that I think of the parent company that have actually announced it.
Yeah.
Based on, I think, was it the previous AGM outcome? I don't know whether the club had any plans to announce this. It very much feels like they were backed into a corner by maybe an email or a couple of communications from people like Dan Ivory. Fighting a good fight, putting a bit of pressure on. Firstly, strategic committees, I think, generally can be a good idea if they're impartial. The fact that they've got Mike Wiseman on, obviously, historically, Blue Blood, not actual Blue Blood, but Blues family, former chairman, etc. Di Sheng Zhao, we don't know very much about. And then Dong appears to have been named on this strategic committee as well. So, you know, offering advice to himself.
Yep, apparently so.
Really confused around the whole thing in terms of why he's on there. Just makes no sense at all. There's just it for me. I just find that it's just another very weird step for Blues to take. Just I don't know what your thoughts are.
I think it's box checking, isn't it? You've got to do this. So, okay, we'll do it. I'll be on there myself and we'll get Mike Wiseman, who we won't really listen to, but we'll just let him.
Well, it almost feels like the Mike Wiseman thing is box ticking because, this will appease the fans or this will appease, you know, people that want.
Do you not think that the whole process is, though, of actually having the committee?
I think, yeah, but I mean, the committee is not a bad thing.
It's not, but I think the fact that they've sort of been not forced into it, but urged into it, maybe means that they weren't going to.
Well, okay, yeah. I mean, get that. But there should have been, you know, maybe like an outside influence that's not linked to, really has any close connections to the parent company.
Yep.
It really, really, I mean, one of the things they mentioned there was like transfer recruitment processes, stuff like that. Why not bring in an actual like football advisor type person? You know, the Di Sheng Zhao could be like the business type person. You've got Mike Wiseman, who's, you know, been the chairman, comes from a Blues family, knows the club inside out, knows some of the people that still out there.
Knows football.
Why not then bring in the football an actual football type advisor, business advisor in there as well. Yeah. Why Dong, who has who already has his conflict of interest because he's on the board already, and his CV is littered with just absolute fucking failure from, you know, from his winning 11s, whatever they were called, and yeah. Up to everything he's done with Blues. It's just, it makes no sense at all.
Like you say, advising himself.
Yeah. Which that's only going to go down one, way. They probably felt forced into releasing this statement. I don't know why they bothered. Should have just left it, ignored it. If they weren't going to do it, then fine, don't do it. But, you know, if you're going to put someone like this in place, do it with some form of intent and like actual roadmap of stuff you want to achieve. And
that's
just
where
makes no sense.
That's where I think though, that it is a bit just box checking, because we're going to do this just because we need to do it.
Yeah.
And it's not about actually getting any real advice. So it is what it is. And genuinely, I don't know enough about the business and whatever else of it. But it doesn't strike me as being genuine at all.
I don't as well. I don't claim to, but it's for me from the outside looking in, if you have got someone advising the board who's already on the board, that is just
like you say, conflict of interest massively.
It's what I come to expect from this lot now. gonna be honest.
Yeah. Time will tell how it plays out. Moving on from the strategic committee, I wonder whether that might be in some way involved in any potential manager changes.
You'd expect there'd be some form of discussions there, wouldn't you? I'd imagine.
I was more sort of angling towards the rumours that are coming out today.
Yeah, you can talk about those. We can talk about those rumours. Just seems to be not based on
much.
So a lot at all.
I'd heard a couple of days ago that Karanka was on his way out after the weekend or Tuesday. Regardless of results, I wasn't fully convinced that that was going to be the case. I wasn't fully behind what I was told. I actually think that Dong is still very much invested in Karanka as a manager. Wasn't sure about it, so sat on it. Wasn't convinced by it, so sat on it. It's came out. I think we spoke to someone else as well, didn't we?
I spoke to a couple of people about it after you spoken to me, and I haven't. There was not really. There was the conversation just almost seemed to be based on assumptions as opposed to any real evidence, as we say. So it would not surprise me that, you know, Karanka, Dong, maybe other members of the board sat down, had a conversation around the progress of or lack of progress from the team. Where are we now? Where did we expect to be by this point? We're not there. What are we going to do to turn it around? Big talk, et cetera, et cetera. And then, you know, move forward. Wouldn't surprise me. Ultimately, they can't carry on going the way they're going because, as we've already said, the next three games are pretty crucial. You know, we carry on not churning out results or not picking up wins. You know, we're going to be in serious, serious trouble. We're in trouble anyway. But I think a lot of the stuff that we're seeing online and forums, etc., is pretty baseless at the moment. It just seems to be made on assumptions and just maybe a couple of Chinese whispers. Can I say that? Chinese whispers.
Whispers.
Just, whispers, just whispers, whispers. Yeah, we've spoken about it. We've touched on it already. Like, it would not surprise me if they did want to try and get rid of him at some point. He's the fact that people saying he's already been sacked or he's already gone. Very much doubt it. Pretty sure he's been in taking training this week. So, you know,
So, I don't know that there's any foundations to what I've been told and what seemingly has gone around to other people as well. But it wouldn't surprise me if after the next game or two, if they do sack him, because and probably based on results. But, you know, the situation that we're in, it wouldn't surprise me if they did decide that they wanted to turn it around. However, I'm not sure that that's done and decided or whatever. And I'm not sure. Yeah. The way that I feel at the moment, I feel a bit like Ivan Drago, and if he goes, he goes.
Yeah. I've already said I was still willing to give a little bit more time. I think this month, we've got 5 more games left, I think, in February. We've got to be out of the bottom three and see real signs of improvement by the end of this month. The next three games, I keep saying it, are going to be like, we might as well call this one the next three games, this podcast, the next three games, because I feel like I've said it about 50 times. Massive,
yeah.
Now, if he has been given the next three games, you know, does he get all three games? Or actually, if he loses to Luton, is that it? Does he go? If he loses to Millwall,
what's the return that's needed from these next three games? Because if it's 9 points, then if you don't win the first one, then you're not gonna fulfill, are you?
For me, I think it needs to be. I think we need to get 7 points from these three games. Do I see us getting them? Probably not. Could I see us getting 5? Maybe, but I think probably more likely we end up getting 4. You know, it's, and then you've got the, and this is probably one for another podcast when it actually does happen, if it does happen. Hopefully it doesn't, because that means we've improved and we've moved up the table, is who comes in next. Now, there seems to be a rumour about Tony Pulis coming in next. Tony Pulis and Dong, you kidding me? Like, how long is that going to last? Like, how long is that going to last? Pulis wouldn't even make it through the day before, you know, flinging his baseball cap at him and headbutting him and walking out.
Stripping off the tracksuit to reveal the vest underneath as well.
And his Y fronts, no doubt. Then just
Popeye tattoos. I bet he's got an anchor. Yeah,
starting out, jumping the car and driving back to wherever he lives. Newport. I've had Newport in my head for some reason. Is that right? I don't know. Maybe I just made it up. I'd be very surprised if Tony Pulis ended up coming in sick, like a short term contract to keep us up.
Connections we'll there with Gardner, of course.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, yes, there are. But does Gardner hold that much weight with Dong and the board? I'm not sure about that. Maybe.
Well, he left and came back and. Because didn't he? So did he have a role for life? You never know.
Or maybe Pulis comes in as Gardner's number two.
Maybe.
How about
like Redknapp at Bournemouth going as a.
Yeah, that's a bit weird, isn't it?
I just can't see. Like you say, this is for something that's if it happens.
There are much better options, I think. And I think. If it is a conversation for another day, but just to end the Tony Pulis thing there, like he hadn't made any impact at Sheffield Wednesday at all. Now, Sheffield Wednesday in a bit of a mess, okay? So, so are we. Would, you know, I don't know how the players would react to him. Would he be able to get a tune out of the players? Maybe. There are probably other options out there, but Pulis does have this knack of getting teams out of trouble.
not
didn't
so much
go too well
Wednesday.
With him. Didn't go too well with him there. But I think again that was a relationship thing with Chancery as well, who, you know, by all accounts seems to be a bit of a helmet himself. So the clash of personalities is gonna be exactly the same sort of thing that happens at Blues. It's just no matter how much he's gonna get paid for it, I just can't see that lasting very long at all if that was to happen. Which I very much doubt.
I can't see it. But stranger things have happened in football.
They have.
Stranger things have happened at Blues.
Yeah. And this that was what I was to say. We've seen all sorts, haven't we? As you can't really rule anything out when Birmingham City is a subject. So, yeah, I'm going to try and forget about that and just hope that we win the next couple of games. We'll pick up a few points in the next few games and we don't have to see that baseball cap, tracksuit and angry little man just walking into the club. Although I would like to see someone deck dong.
Right, let's have a little look forward to Luton this weekend, if you can get through it without being attacked by your cat.
So last week I was joined by my dog and the cat has just come up and joined me now as well. So he is very enthusiastic. So I think he might be positive about facing the Hatters this weekend. Whoa! Right, sit down.
Not sure that works with cats, aren't they? A bit free-spirited.
Yeah, he definitely is as well.
So, Luton, I saw a few things on the on Luton's supporters' Twitter that they're a bit frustrated with substitutions as it happens. Graham Jones? Not Graham Jones.
Nathan Jones.
He's, I don't know where Graham came from.
Graham Jones is the new assistant coach at Newcastle. He was also the assistant to Martinez at Belgium. He might still be.
He was also the voice on Blind Date. He was our Graham.
Is that? Our Graham.
You didn't know that, did you?
Probably not the same one, mind.
No, it was. So, Nathan Jones, apparently the fans are a bit concerned about when he makes changes, trying to change a game. Where have you heard that before? It's like...
Probably happens up and down the country for about 90% of teams. We just don't see it because we're in our own sort of Blues echo chamber.
But anyway, it might be an interesting game with both teams not wanting to change it before the 80th minute or something on Saturday. So we'll see where that goes. They're like you mentioned earlier, they're actually 6 points ahead of us.
6 points ahead of us, yeah. I think they've dropped points a bit recently. I think they had been doing fairly well prior to that, but yeah. What do you reckon?
What, we're just going to get straight into predictions, or are you going to? You got anything to say about them? I don't really know too much about them.
I was just interested to see. So I mean, they've obviously
Tom Ince, have they?
Oh yeah, he went there as well, didn't he? Yeah. They've not won since the middle of January. I think they won away at Bournemouth, funnily enough. But they haven't picked up that many points recently. I think they drew at Huddersfield last time out. Lost to Blackburn the week before that. I fancy this for some reason. Don't know why.
Was that the cat or was that a child?
That was a child, yeah. I fancy us to beat them on Saturday. And I almost feel like we'll beat them comfortably. And I don't know why.
Don't you dare. You know,
it's... I'm not gonna steal your prediction, don't worry.
Okay.
Well, I won't go into prediction yet. I feel like there are signs there that we can go and attack a team and score goals. It's just about keeping them out at the other end. I'm not against using this 4-1-4-1 type thing that he's used. It sort of amalgamates into 4-3-3 when we attack. Quite like that.
Who would you go with in if you were going with that lineup though?
Well, you kind of touched on it earlier on, and I think after a handful of mistakes on Saturday, I think it's probably time that MSJ drops to the bench, and we do give Harper at home as well, you know, try and take the game.
It's even worse.
To it is, but let's try and go out there and actually get some significant points on the board in a home game. Winning, beating Luton and winning at home, you can balance them out. Like, winning at home, we need to start winning at home again. Yep. It's got to happen sooner or later.
You'd hope so, because what is it, two games at home all season that we've won?
Brentford, Huddersfield. Yeah. Huddersfield was end of October, so it's quite a long time to not have won at home.
We've got to turn it around at some point. We've got to use that home advantage. I mean, you've got to get used to playing, whatever the surface is like or whatever, we've got to get used to playing on it. It should be home advantage, and presently it isn't.
It's making no difference to us at all. We spoke about it before. I think we really do miss having the fans there. The crowd reaction, just getting behind the team when they need the fans. That we're missing that. I think even Scott Hogan mentioned it a couple of days ago in an interview, saying that it's probably really not good for them as well. I think they would prefer to have the fans in there, letting them know how it's going. So it almost gives them that extra bit of, you know, energy or desire sometimes. But I think we'll win Saturday.
You're more confident than I am. I'll cut you off before your prediction. You're more confident than I am, because I can't look at any game at the moment and think positively about it that we're going to win it. After the Wickham game, because I looked at that one and I thought, it's Wickham. They've got 12 points or whatever it is in the they're probably a little bit more than that, but they barely picked up any wins. Thought, they're there for the taking. If we're going to win any game this season, that should be the one we should be going and win. At home, they beat us, and away, we drew with them and struggled to score. So I'm not confident going into any game. But out of the, like I said earlier, the next three, Luton's the one that we should be looking, out of all three of them, to pick up a win. If it's 5 points, they should be the one that we're getting 3 points off.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm not confident though.
Also, that Sheffield Wednesday, I think probably we should be looking at getting point there, directly above us or two places above us. So
I'm not sure. Did they play yesterday or is it tonight that they play?
They played yesterday. They won. I think we've already mentioned that. They beat Wickham 2-1, didn't they? I think so.
Who played?
Or 2-0.
Who played Rotherham?
Cardiff. Cardiff beat them with a last minute winner, I think.
Oh, I thought they were playing each other.
Mick McCarthy working wonders. So I've missed out on that opportunity.
Yeah. No, you're right there. Yeah.
So you're not confident, but you're going to predict 3-0.
Can I make two predictions?
You can.
I can do what I want, can't I? It's my podcast.
you can do what you want. Yeah. Go on then. I suppose I'll let you.
Okay, I'm going to go 0-0 as my head prediction, and then 3-0 Blues as the standard one.
Speaking from your bollocks prediction.
Yeah, speaking up my ass prediction.
I am going to go...
You can have two as well if you want.
I'm just going to have 2-0 to Blues. But... if we don't win, in fact, if we lose on Saturday, I think I might, this isn't a prediction, this is a, I think I'm probably going to defer into Karanka out camp, I think.
Are you going to put a hashtag in your Twitter profile?
I'm not going to do that, no, because I'm not a moron. Yeah, it's not going in my Twitter profile, not going in my handle. I'm probably not going to tweet it at this point. But, you know, someone's got to give Saturday. I don't want to see us chopping and changing.
I find it somewhat surprising that there's actually quite a lot of positivity about the game on Saturday. If people are seeing this week, we've started a new forum on We Are Birmingham, and on there we're running a prediction league, and I think quite a few of the predictions for Saturday are quite positive. So if you haven't joined already, join up, go and post your predictions on there, get involved in that. We're going to run a little league for the rest of the season and then carry that on to next year. But yeah, I'm going to go and pop my prediction in now. You're going to put yours in? I'm going to go with the 0-0 though.
I should probably, I have registered, I should probably post something on there.
You should get involved in it, yeah.
Yeah, everyone get involved. Go and join the forum. Let's start a war with other Birmingham City. No, that's not. I did see some comments on SHA about starting up and stuff like that. I think people may have got the wrong end of the stick. Even on other forums have mentioned it as well. I think they've got the wrong end of the stick. It's it's part of the We Are Birmingham roadmap. It's just another channel for Chris and his team to, you know, just grow the brand. And Chris, I'm going to add this thing. You don't know I'm going to say this, but I saw someone mentioning that you had Birmingham Live, Birmingham City articles coming up onto the feed on the forum, and they thought that you were getting paid to do that. So, I didn't respond to anyone, but I knew that was the fact anyway. But just in case they listen, no, you're not getting paid for. They're not getting any money for it on there.
I think the idea behind that is that the posts come onto there and then people can discuss them. I don't think that's a new idea either. Birmingham Live might get paid for the people going onto their site, but nothing to us, unfortunately.
So I'll get on there later on and I'll post something derogatory about you or make a prediction. One of the two, I don't know.
Or both.
See how it goes.
Or both. Come along, join us, leave your prediction. And until next week, enjoy the game, hopefully. Thanks for listening and keep right on.
Keep right on.